Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Kinas Tshuva. As we know, often living in Golus, living in the dark Golus, means that we go through difficult years. And this year, regretfully, has been a difficult year for Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. So many people have been killed in the Mohama. We hear of tragedies, and so many things happen that we always wonder, when will this bitter Golus end? And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, as we firmly believe, is a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us to listen to our tefillahs, to our tshuva. So it's really a time of opportunity that is incumbent upon us to take advantage of. And we do believe that if we're mispalel sincerely and we do tshuva correctly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hearken to our pleas, and Klal Yisrael will have a much better year. Be'ezris Hashem Yisbarach. The Kol Baruch Hashem was able to be Marbitz Torah another year, influence the community, provide a lot of learning, halacha, counsel. And Be'ezra Hashem, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have the schut and the siyata shmaya to be able to do it even in a bigger and better fashion in the upcoming year. Hopefully Be'ezra Hashem next year at this time will be in a new base medrash, and the new base medrash will be new, that it will also foster an environment and attract more people to come in to learn and have a greater impact on the community. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zeicha to the siyata d'shmaya, which we need so dearly. We need it for everything, in milu d'shmaya as well, in milu d'yalma. We know that prior to doing anything, and I learned when it comes to building, you need an architect. A lot of planning goes into building. That I can tell you without any hesitation. I've learned that well. Even when you go on vacation, you got to plan where you want to stay. What do you want to do? Where do you want to spend your time? Surely when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you got a plan. You can't just come to Kol Nidre. Rosh Hashanah passed. We'll talk about Yom Kippur. You can't just come to Kol Nidre and all of a sudden find yourself in shul and decide what to do. You got a plan. You got to think ahead of time to make sure it's a meaningful Yom Kippur, Be'ez Hashem. And one of the ways we do that is by hearing inspiring speakers, chashuva speakers. To that cause, to that focus, we invited Rabbi Leif, a renowned Talmud Chacham, a renowned speaker, a renowned mashpia, to come here and to be mazak of the oilam and to give us a little bit of an enthusiasm, inspiration, a little bit of his Cyrus to do tshuva. I do thank him for coming, and I'm sure we'll all benefit from his Divrei Torah and his Divrei Hesiris. Rabbi Nina.
I'm hoping that the new facility will have better parking arrangements. The Shus, the Geinim, the Rashi Kerel Shlita, Chashav Rabbonim, Maronim, Rabbonim, Rabbeisai. Every time we come to this time and we try to improve, to effectively change, we find chumras in halacha. Shulchan Aruch brings down that even if an individual is not nizer in Pas Yisrael during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, you have to do so. So many areas we are more exacting on ourselves, and the question is, it appears to be a charade. Hashem Elokim, Rav Hutner Zatzal used to say, Gleich Arayin in Tepel Lokshin. When it's Dam Lokshin, the Lokshin Mitked. Individuals cry out with their hearts and souls, like a malach, and 3 days later, a month later, it seems as if we haven't really changed at all. So isn't this pretty much a charade, almost chicanery, accepting upon ourselves certain activities, increasing our learning, for whom and for what? So as a hakdama to the fallacy of this notion, I'd like to share with you a story. It happened many years ago. There was a Hasidish Yid. He was extremely close to his Rebbe, and he had a remarkable, uncanny ability to lose money. He couldn't make ends meet. He started traveling throughout the region, started dabbling in business with non-Jews, and before you knew it, he was a hit. The problem was he was very far from home, and he'd have to travel hundreds of kilometers to do his business. So he decided one fine day to relocate. He's going to move his family away from the Yiddish Yishuv, from the Jewish settlement, and he's going to live in the Gentile pale, so to speak. But every Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, he came for Nesiyat Sim Rebbe. He came to spend time, to bask in the glory of the Hasidic court of his Rebbe. He started living among the guy, and he started dressing like a guy. Off went the Hasidic Shalavush. No longer did he wear Bekesha, he's in Zuck and a Shtaymel. He had a natty double-breasted suit with a cravat and a nice handkerchief, ensemble, matching tie. He didn't look at all like a Hasidic Yid. But when he came during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the days of awe, introspection, Sukkot and Simchas Torah, he dusted off his shtreimel, he put on the Eisen Zaken, he looked like one of the fellas. This went on year after year. And finally, one day, he decides, this is a charade, it's a game, it doesn't make any sense, this isn't what he is. He's not going to play dress-up masquerade. It's not Purim, it's Yom Kippur. Not Yom Kippurim, it's not Purim, it's Yom Kippur. So he went and he dressed as he did every day of the year. And he comes to the village and the Hasidim are shocked, chagrined. Is this the Venerable Chassid? And he spends time and the Rebbe says not a word. And finally it's after some Chassid and he's zegedzich from the Rebbe. He's coming to say goodbye. And now the Rebbe speaks. And in one sentence, he says as follows: Yankele, the ganze Zeit habe ich gemeint, du bist ein Unsere, hast noch ausgeguckt wie sie. Ist es sehr, also bist die ganze Zeit gewesen eine von sie und ausgeguckt wie uns. The entire time, I thought you were one of us. You dressed like them when you were with them. But now I see that the entire time you were one of them and only dressed like us. The question is, what is the charade? And I'd like to clearly, emphatically state that the Heilige Yidden that came to hear the Vayaseiris, to give me the schus, to share the Vechizik, the Yidden Bez Hashem, the Bnei Torah, the Loim Dei Torah here in this Kol. This is our reality. We are Nila Yidden. We are Hashem Olekim Yidden. And if Chas V'Sholem Chanukah time we succumb to temptation and speak Lashon Hara, that's the charade. This is the reality. Avinu Malkeinu, this is what we are. And all these Kabbalahs and all the changes that we've effected are real. The charade is 6 months down the road. And then once again, we change effectively. There's a Gemara in Masechta Makos that speaks to our day, to this time period we're living through, vis-a-vis Tshuva, Hashiveinu Avinu Sarasecha, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unfortunately, the times that we find ourselves in, vis-a-vis the spiritual Holocaust that we're experiencing in North America and throughout the world. Says the Gemara at the end of Masechta Makos and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Omer Rav, Mistapino Mehai Krov Avadatem Bagoyim. Rav declares, I am terrified of that pasuk, and you will be lost amongst the nations of the world. There's no straddling the fence. In the Chukaytei Teleichu, Shati Amelim Batayra, the Talachti B'Seichachem, the greatest brachas have to be found, physically, spiritually. But in the Chukaytei Loi Teleichu, if you don't hove in the West Side Kirl, you're not looking in the Yasek, Torah isn't your business, then Ba'avadatem Ba'goyim, we've been lost amongst the nations of the world. Says Rav, I'm terrified of those treacherous, dangerous days of peril and consequence, the O's. 2003 and 5 and 6 and 8, the O. Because the rate of assimilation is rampant. Prior to 1960, it was less than 7%. Today, by conservative estimates, it's 52%. Some say up to 70%. It could be massive such a thing. That when a Yid gets married in the United States of America, 7 out of 10 are to a guy. Says Rav Mistapina Mehai Kru, I'm terrified of that pasuk without them like that. There won't be Jews when Mashiach come to redeem. Maske for Rav Pop. Rav Pop asked a very strong question against Rav. V'dilma k'aveda mispakesh. Maybe the Jewish nation will be lost, but like a lost object that's yearning to be found. The Chassid of David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Yutet, Ta'isi, I have strayed, k'seh oyve, like a lost sheep, bakesh avdecha. Look for me, Ben Hashem, search for yourself. Fakta levush maltcha. Fakta levush maltcha. The Moshe Maltcha Epstein, the Chassadik Lebracha, the Chevron Hashiv, the Shimon Sabotka. What is the difference between Aveda Mispakeshes and Aveda Shina Mispakeshes? What's the distinction between a lost object that's looking to be found and when it's not looking to be found? An Aveda Shina Mispakeshes is not looking to be found. You're walking down West End Avenue, somewhere between 91st and 92nd. And you know it very well because you went on a block 19 times to find a bargain space. And you're walking down the street and you have $10,000 cash in your pocket, in your purse. You lose that money. Unmarked bills, no simon, no recognition sign. You retrace your steps once, twice, three times, five times. You cry out like Klal Yisrael has cried out for thousands of years. Vai li l'chasarin kis. Woe to me for the loss of such a huge fortune, such an amazing amount of money. You're not going to find that money. That's an aveda, lost object. She'ena mispakesh is not looking to be found. But let's say there's a sheep that separates from the flock, from the shepherd. Just as the shepherd is yearning and searching for the sheep is bleeding and crying and yearning and searching to be found. When the shepherd looks for the sheep and the sheep looks to be found, chances are great that they'll be reunited. Omar Rav says, Rav, Mistapina may I cry. I'm terrified of that pasuk, va'avadatem bagoyim, the O's in North America. Jews are assimilating at a rate that's beyond belief. There won't be any Jews left. Maske flora pupper, a pupper puts the death knell. He drives the nail into the coffin on this tip, this fear. There's no fear. The dilma kaveda mistakeshes. Maybe they're like a lost object that's looking to be found. The scissors of the Miller says, Ta'isi, I have strayed. We've all strayed, Rabbi Nishtar. But kaseh oyve, like a lost object yearning to be found. That, my friend, is El. That's Rosh Hashanah. Aseres Yom Tshuva and Yom Kippur. We're looking to be found. It's not a magic formula. Anilu derdiva derdili. It's a given. I am to my beloved. My beloved is to me. I would say, ki anilu derdi, as I am to my beloved. My beloved is to me. Tit for tat, quid pro quo. What we're mashkiach, what we invest, the Rebbe Hashem repays us tenfold. Open an opening in Kechuda Shalmacha like the eye of a needle and open a cavernous wedding hall for you. But just start the process. Vashuv Aleichem, I'll return to you, says the Kaddish Baruch. And that's what these days are. Every Jew during these hallowed days, consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously, is yearning to be found. I was in Miami early this morning. I spoke at the Miami Kollel last night for a Kiddush Shuvah they had in Miami. I'm going to Slichas at 5:30 in the morning, and an 18-wheeler pulls by, stops the truck, rolls down the window. It happened this morning. Rabbi, I just want to make sure, when's Yom Kippur? Sunday night to Monday night, right? It's Sunday night and Monday, not Monday night and Tuesday. I don't know who he is. I'm shocked he knew I was a rabbi. Very intelligent fellow. But Ta'isi Kaseh Oyvei, the Jewish nation, is like a lost sheep yearning to be found. That's the condition we're all in. Hakol Ufim Adai Gosa. Each and everyone according to their own spiritual level, consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously. Kaveda mispakeshes. And we're aveda mispakeshes, because Bochum can find. And that's what's happening all over the world. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah typifies the state, the condition of Jewry today. The Mishnah says, "V'chulan yavrin l'fanav kivnei morayin." Everyone passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these hallowed days, Kivnei Morin. In fact, the Gemara, my Kivnei Morin, what does it mean, like Bnei Morin? Hachatir Gemara, here what was translated, says the Gemara, Kivnei Imran, like sheep passing through an opening and aperture. Amar Rish Lakish says, Kema'aloiz Beis Morin, like the heights of Morin. Omar Shmuel Amarav Kechayolo Yishel Beis David, like the soldiers of King David passing in review. And in summation, Omar Rabba Bar Bachana V'chulam B'skira Achas Niskor, they're all viewed at with one glance. Now it would seem as if there are various opinions, it's a machlokes, an argument as to what B'chulon Yarvan L'fonov Kivdei Morin means. What is Kivdei Morin? I believe it's Sanamach Lekes. Each one typifies a different kind of Jew. The first, Hoka Tirgum, here they translated Kivnei Imran, like sheep. Like sheep that pass through the aperture, they have no clue what's waiting on the other side of the opening. The sheep doesn't know if he's going to live another year to frolic in the woods, if he's going to have his wool shorn, he'll be fleeced, or if he's going to be turned into lampshade. He has no clue. There are Jews on Rosh Hashanah, they're clueless. Whether it's in Minneapolis or Memphis or Milwaukee or the West Side, they are clueless. Sifrei Chaim, who made some Sukkim Lefanav, they're very large, they're on the line, and they have no clue. Kibnei Imran are like sheep. Rish Lakish says, is a higher level Jew. Kimah Lois Beis Morin, like the heights of Morin. Rashi explains Morin was a summit with a precipice on either side, a very narrow path. You couldn't walk two abreast. One had to follow the other, or else you'd fall. That's the Jew who with trepidation approaches these hallowed days, but he's terrified for his own life, his business, his health, his family. He can't think of anybody else. He can't think about the Jew in Afghanistan. He can't think about Yerushalayim. He can't think about anybody else, just himself. It's a madrega, but we're not there yet. The final shita, Shmuel says, Kechayolo is based up. Like King David's army passing in review. When you want to go to war, you want to protect the homestead, you can't rent a Kfir jet, a Merkav tank. You have to raise a standing militia of 100,000 soldiers. You can't go it alone. And they protect the flank to the right and the left. That's how you wage a successful battle. That's the individual who realizes the gravity of the situation. Everything's on the line. But he also realizes that he can't go it alone. He davens for others. He davens with others. He strengthens himself in Tfilah B'Tzibur. I mean, just imagine what we do during these days. The whole year we have an ongoing battle with the snooze button on the alarm clock. We have it all calculated how many times we can hit the snooze. Gotta get up at 5:30, the alarm starts going up at 4:45. 5 minutes, not 5 minutes, not 5 minutes, a 10 minute interval, I keep on pushing until I know I better get up and take a shower if I'm gonna make davening. So you have to show 6:30, 7, whenever your minyan is, 8. Those are the minyan on the basis for all our community, 6:30, 7, and 8. I gotta go 6:30 with the farmers because I have a share half an hour before. I tell the people in my community, somehow you can call me till 2 o'clock in the morning, but I can't return your phone calls after 10 because it's a certain kind of relationship we have. I go, pardon. The Davka Slichis, 10 to 6, 5:30. We're waging war against the Yetzirah. We're wearing him down. And then comes again Rabbi Bar Yochanan. He says an incredible thing. B'chulam b'skira achas niskar. They are all viewed with one glance. That's a tremendous defense for Klal Yisrael and opportunity. Let's say I'm outstanding one day in Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Aleinu, I was mechaven really properly. But then I fell asleep during the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. And my cousin, Irwin Levin, he was outstanding in Shema Kileinu, that same Shemoneh Esrei that we davened together. And the Rosh Kailo, the first three brachas. And the other Rosh Kailo, Sim Shalom. And Mendy Pollack was outstanding at the Kabbashai Vagadol. And Rabbi Cohn and Dr. Kagan in various other parts of Shemoneh Esrei. So collectively, as a tzibur, we offer up a perfect tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He looks at that Shemoneh Esrei, and it's a perfect Shemoneh Esrei. It's a perfect tefillah. It's a perfect service, avodah. It's a perfect mitzvah. There's no regret to that mitzvah. But there's also an awesome responsibility. Really, what beyond that, I'll explain. Let's say Chas v'Shalom, Ne'ila. Hashem's not going to rescind the decree. We daven Kraroy Agzar Dinenu, but it's not going to happen. And the person is lacking in commitment, in observance, in a track record, in regretting the past and accepting the future, Charat Allah Ovar, Aziva, Kabbalah. So it's his time. Hashem's going to take him that year. The Bezim Shemal is about to pronounce sentence. Instead of a Chasmeinu, L'chaim Tovim, Rachman Son, it's not going to be that way. And then all of a sudden they remember he has a wife, she has a husband, they have children, they have grandchildren, they have parents, they have friends, they have chavrusas, they have rebbeim, talmidim, they're involved in a community, they have a community. It's going to affect 100 people. It's going to affect 500 people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. Maybe, just maybe, he's lacking, but they're all collectively not lacking. Could you imagine if Chas v'Shalom, the next time a suicide, homicide bomber has the intention of taking innocent neshamas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that 1 million Jews will not be able to eat lunch that day, that 50,000 Yigalite won't be able to learn, that 100,000 Jews won't go to business, they can't conduct business that day, tragedy happened, Jewish lives were snuffed out, Katyusha rockets and Tachaisa. It's quite possible if we felt that way, it wouldn't happen. That's the responsibility of a chulam b'skira achas niskarim. You know what it means, kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh? There's different shittas in the Rishonim and Acharim how to explain it. One Jew is a guarantor for another. How are you a guarantor for another Jew? I make kiddush at home. Some Jew comes to eat the suda by me. He doesn't know how to make kiddush. I tell him, no problem. I'll make kiddush for you. Now, if he's piggybacking on me, I can understand how I make kiddush for him. I have an obligation, he has an obligation, he fulfills his obligation through me, vicariously. But if I've already fulfilled my obligation, how can I be mighty him? How can I fulfill his obligation when I've done mine? What am I doing? I'm talking to him, I'm drinking wine for him. Said Acharonim, that if another yid hasn't made kiddush yet, I have not yet fulfilled my obligation of kiddush. If another yid is not Shomer Shabbos, I'm not yet completely Shomer Shabbos. That's Kol Yisrael Arevim. It's not just that I take care of him. He's my responsibility. His pain, his suffering, his joys, they're all mine. And therefore, if he hasn't recited Kiddush, she hasn't recited Kiddush, I can recite Kiddush, I can be mighty there. We daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tear up our evil decree. Could you imagine if we knew what they were? How we daven differently. We had a Yungaman, not just Yungaman, a middle-aged fellow who passed away 2 weeks from Al Kahila. It was a shock. A few months ill, I tell the Talmud, a spectacular person, over 1,000 people as Levite. Had we known that Hill Shoal, Ben Shapsai, his life was on the line, it would have been a different Hashanah last year. But we don't know. 5 years ago, Gdolim advised me to go with the Federation mission from Minneapolis to Eretz Yisrael and to take members of my kehila with me. 23 members of my kehila went with the Federation mission of 95 people, inclusive. It was incredible. Everything was done, Kadasa Gadin, Glat Kusha, you name it, we had it. We slept the people to the Vasikin menu. At 56 days, Friday, Chever, going and davening by seeking a spice of 5 o'clock in the morning. Rabbi, isn't that like a later of a seeking mean? You know what a seeking means. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. So one day it's pouring. And they were supposed to send buses, which they didn't. So I feel a responsibility. You know, great Mr. Snefesh, the Federation was subsidizing us to stay in the King David Hotel. I'm going to tell you about the King David. It's a very nice hotel. I've never been there before. I'll go upon him. From the Gvir. And I'm sending everybody back with taxis. I'm getting soaked in the rain. Finally, two fellas are left with myself and a couple of them. Mark Grossfield and Mark Rotenberg. Mark Rotenberg is the attorney. He heads the legal department for the University of Minnesota. He's a very special fellow. Legal counsel. He's a general counsel for the University of Minnesota. And Mark Grossfield was with him too. A fellow, he's in advertising, promotions, he has a Subway account, a wealthy man, a very successful man. He recently started learning on the cuddle the past several years. The other room, they're not as of yet completely Shem Shabbos. They're getting there. Now, I neglected to greet my mother, who's here, Rebbetzin Lee from Brooklyn. She came for the shir. But I didn't tell you the story, so please don't get scared, okay? I never told you, you can hear about it for the first time right now. So I get into this cab, and I head back with a couple of the chevra to the hotel. And Rotenberg and Grossfield are in the taxi behind me, like 2-3 minutes behind me. Between them and me, something happened. A terrorist on his way to blow up General Zinni, who was staying at the hotel, blew himself up. And we heard this clap. I thought it was thunder. They saw his head pop off. They saw it. They saw it. They started Minnesotans against terror because of the whole experience. I get to the King David. Once he comes to the Rav, must go to Rotenberg. He looks like he's ready to faint. He's pale. He's trembling uncontrollably. He just saw a man who attempted to kill himself. So I took him by the lapels. I looked him in the eyes. And I said, Mark, the Gemara, the Talmud teaches us that when a person cries out with his very essence and soul, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Bechol Kaychai, Kairin Zar Dina. If you cry out, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, at whatever level that means, with all of your strength, all of your intellect, all of your being, all your might, all your resources, then there's a gzar din that's torn up, an evil decree. I said, Mark, there was an evil decree against us this morning, a gzar din. And someone, somewhere, whether the Kaisel Davening Vasikin, whether back in Minneapolis, whether someone in Bnei Brak, said Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba V'chol Kaychai, and that Gzar Din was torn up. And he visibly calmed down. In fact, we had a Kaisel Din of the following year. He told us the story exactly as I'm telling it to you. So what's the lesson? The lesson is, it works. Tefillah works. It changes lives. It saves lives. There was a little boy, 8 years old, hospitalized for several weeks. And the Board of Education of his municipality had a system where if a child was out of school for a number of weeks, they send a special teacher to tutor him, to mainstream him back into the classroom after his illness was over. So they got one of these special teachers, and she met with his primary teacher. And the primary teacher said, the lesson I'd like you to stress is nouns, pronouns, verbs, adverbs. That's what we're up to in class. She prepares herself. Yavei Hayom, the day arrives. She goes to the ward. And she's shocked. She looks inside and she sees this boy with burns covering the majority of his body. He looks like a mummy. And she walks over to him, introduces herself, and listlessly teaches him about nouns, pronouns, verbs, adverbs. She can barely walk out. The next day, she comes back to continue the lesson, and the chief nurse, the head nurse at the station, says, what did you tell this boy? He has a new lease on life. He's fighting back for the first time. 2-3 weeks later, the boy talks to this teacher and says, you know, when you came in to me 3 weeks ago, and he started teaching me, I said to myself, you know, they never teach nouns and pronouns to a dying kid. if they're teaching me nouns and pronouns and verbs, I'm going to live a new lease on life. My friends, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Pei HaTefillah, it's because it works. He wouldn't orchestrate all of this with the head of euphoric days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He wouldn't create scenarios where we need the Pei HaTefillah if it wouldn't work. It works! And you have to believe that it works. All viewed with one glance, what a responsibility we have, an awesome responsibility to feel the pain, to empathize, to change our ways. You know, I had a gedank this morning. I thought, and I'm not looking into the halacha shiva, but why is it nispashit, our minig, our custom is that even though we say the yom at the end of the davening, but on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur we say the yom in the morning. Before we even say Berachas HaShachar with the Tzibur, we're already saying the Yom. My mother's a Yerushalayim Gibbon. She was born in Yerushalayim. She's a Bergman and a Bloy. And Yakira Yerushalayim say that the first time a person is really Machaven during davening is by the Shir Shal Yom. Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? That's the first time he connects. He doesn't know how he got there. Somebody turned all the pages. And you ever notice sometimes you see fellas, they really start getting animated. What are they jumping around for? What's the yom? Because they just connected. They just woke up. They just started focusing. So I thought to myself this morning, maybe that's why in Rosh Hashanah we want to get to the Kavanah right away. We want to get ourselves motivated and inspired to be Mechavan. And the question, of course, is why is it so difficult for David? What is the avodah of tefillah? Why is it so difficult? Such a Herculean task. I've told Rav Shitz used to say, when a person comes back after Shmoneh Esrei, you got to give him a Shalom Aleichem. He just married off all his daughters. He was all over the world. Shalom Shadron used to say, I heard him say this several times, you have to say Tefillah Sederet before you start davening Shmoneh Esrei. We share with your mice that it happened in Zichron Moshe Shul, in Geula. Zichron Moshe. The fellow's davening Shmoneh Esrei. He finishes Mincha. And he sees his friend Yankel doing a very strange thing. Yankel's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, a silent devotion. And he gets to Maidim, and right before he says Maidim, he takes out a cigarette. I know it's not politically correct to talk about cigarettes, but Hashem, we all don't smoke, but our great-grandfathers used to smoke, you know, seven generations ago. This is one of those days. He takes out a cigarette, and he parodies as if he's smoking, and he puts the cigarette back in his pocket, and he says, Maidim al-Achalach, he finishes Shemoneh Esrei. You know, Zechem Moshe was very careful not to talk, so he waits left the davening, he slaps him outside, and he says, Yankel, this is Tahuti, crazy Yankel, what are you doing? In middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you make believe you're smoking, you put it back in your pocket, what's going on? He says, you know, my wife's nephew got engaged. And we finally decided we're going to Eretz Yisrael, to America, from Eretz Yisrael. We've never traveled to the United States. So I started Shemoneh Esrei and I said, you know, I better get serious about this business. If we're going, I've got to make arrangements. So by Baruch Aleinu, I started saying to myself, we're going to use Eisenbach's travel agency. I got to Tkabashay for Godel, I decided we're flying El Al. I got to Maidim, I'm in the ticket counter right in front of the ticket agent. And she asks me, smoking or non-smoking? No, I remember I'm in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, so I take out the cigarette and I parody smoking, put it back in and finish Shemoneh Esrei. He's so confused. He's in the middle of davening. He's not in the middle of davening. Shemoneh Esrei, not Shemoneh Esrei. I remember I'm in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Why is it so difficult for us to daven? Why is it so difficult for us to change? You know, tefillah is knappe, the rabbonos, and the Rambam, certain aspects of the raisa. Birkas Hamazon is a deraisa. The chalta, the zavot, the rachta is an obligation, grace after me. And the chinuch writes, you want a school for panasa, a fail-safe way of having the best investment portfolio in the neighborhood, bench like a mesh. Recite Birkas Hamazon with kavana, you'll have sustenance. Panasa. Berapa. So why is it that Shemoneh Esrei was daven with such kavana? Benching, you pick up the bench, you kiss it, you put it down, you finish. You buy Vnei Yerushalayim, you're cleaning off from the table, the phone rings, or Vnei Yerushalayim, you're doing everything. Why is it that way? Davening generally is before we eat, we're hungry. When we're hungry, we daven one way. We bench, we're full. The world can go where it wants to go. So we need certain motivation to get us inspired about our benching. But we need motivation about davening too. You know, Chazal say, "Gedola tefila me'akrovas karbonos." Prayer is greater than bringing sacrifices, offerings in the Beis Hamikdash, the temple. Now the pasuk says in Neshama Parim Sfaseinu Siach Sfaseinu that our lips fulfill what we're lacking in karbonos. The bulls are fulfilled by our lips. How could it be that the replacement even measures up to the original? Maybe it can measure up, but to be greater. And what's so hard about tefillah? You know, tefillah is something we can all do. Tefillah l'maish isha l'kim. Things start happening. You go to a chacham, he starts davening for you. Tefillah l'nikiyata. L'fnei Hashem Hashem yisprech sichas. A poor person can be equally effective. So what is so difficult about tefillah? What is the avodah? Want to be invited back. The Maral says that tefillah is an avodah. It's not labor intensive. It's an eved. It's avdus. Tolui b'chalutin, completely dependent on the master. In days of yore, they knew what a slave was. The master liked him, he fed him, he preserved his life. He didn't like him, he sent him to the Colosseum and he was torn apart by the lion. A nobleman is very close to the king. A nobleman has a specific meeting, the prince, and he has to stick to the agenda. He can't bring up his own issues. But an eved, a servant, takes his shmata, smelts. He starts whistling while he works, walks into the war parley, they're having a council, and he's cleaning the Venetian blinds, and he's cleaning the table, and he opens the fridge, he takes a Coke, he lies down on the sofa. What's going on? He's completely dependent on the king. This is where he lives. And commensurate with that dependency is the need for the king to take care of him. A mother is blessed with a child, and she's zaycha to give birth. It might be a slight difficult delivery. So what does she need more than anything else? Bed rest. She's exhausted. Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Kosher Circus could march around the house, and she doesn't hear. They're trumpeting the elephants. She doesn't hear a thing. But all of a sudden, every 3-4 hours, there's this shrill, pristine, piercing sound. It's like a magic line between the baby's mouth and the mother's ear. And she jumps up and takes care of the baby. Why? Because that baby is completely dependent on the mother. And if she hesitates, that baby could die. Child's 2 years old, all of a sudden it begins. You get up. No, you get up. No, you get up. You get up. What happened? You don't love the kid anymore? Kid can manage if you don't get up right away. Child's 15 years old. I don't know where your pants are. You're 15 years old. You take care of it. What do you want from me? You're an adult. There's no lack of love, but there's lack of dependency. David HaMelech says, "Kigmol alei imai." I'm like a baby nursing by my mother. I have 2 left hands, 2 left feet, for the lefties, 2 right hands, 2 right feet. I can't move, I can't digest food, I can't walk, I can't button my clothes. It's all up to you, Rabbeinu Shalom. You know, every once in a while we tell Hashem, you know, we can take it from here. You know, we got the Maricop tank, the third jet, you know, we'll take care of it. Like the 5-year-old kid, he's going to his sister's wedding. Ma, I want to dress myself, Ma. Goes into the room, comes out half an hour later. His buttons on his button, his necktie is choking him. He's taking care of himself. Chesbol says, "Bavakasha, take care of yourself." We can't do anything without the attention. We're totally bechalutim, and based on that dependency, the Chesbol's response: "Im kavodim einenu tfuyais achet chanenu." Rabbeinu Shalom, we are completely dependent on you. We can't accomplish in life. We can't survive without you. That's the avoda of tefillah. That's the avodah of tefillah, being completely dependent and recognizing it. The story took place between World War I and World War II in Frankfurt am Main with a doctor by the name of Daniel Lagarda. I said this over in my kehillah 2 years ago, Rosh Hashanah, and the younger man, the Litvish younger man from Eretz Yisrael, the sheikh had impossible to pray his shechita. So he came over and he told me afterwards he knew the name of this doctor, and his grandfather said that they used to go and get kfitlach, give kfitlach to him. He was a tzaddik, a doctor, a tzaddik. One day he's conducting his Shabbos Suda, and a girl rushes in and says, "Herr Doktor, my father's deathly ill, it's his heart," and describes the symptoms. And the doctor's very agitated, and he says, "Yes, I must come immediately." He rushes to the closet. He puts on a jacket, and as he's leaving the closet, he looks in the mirror and he says to himself, musing out loud, he says, "A green jacket. Today's Shabbos. It's not a good day for a green jacket." Goes back in the closet. He comes out with nacha jacket. Puts on his brown jacket. And the girl says, "Doctor, don't you understand? We have to go. We have to run. It's a matter of moments." "You're right. You're right. No, no. Brown? Brown doesn't work. I gotta get a black jacket." Goes back inside. Kicks out a black jacket. Brushes himself off. And the girl says, "Rabbeinu Shalom, forget about it. I thought we could ask the forget the doctor. It's all you, Rabbeinu Shalom." She rushes out of the house. And the doctor says to his family, "He's going to be okay." He comes back a couple hours later. He had admitted him into the hospital and he survived. And he said, "Papa, how did you know?" He said, "I'm a prophet of the son of a prophet, but I heard the symptoms. And the diagnosis was so severe there was no way he was going to recover. And as long as I was eingemischt in the issue, wasn't going to happen if I'm involved. But the minute those words, Yaitzim Mefirish Vipika and Gadol, those words came out of her mouth, from her heart, the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's all up to you, I knew that things would be okay. Kigmul Aleimai, completely dependent on Hashem. That's tefillah." 3 months ago in Minneapolis, a lady in our kehillah, prominent lady, had elective surgery. She comes to the hospital, checks herself into her room. The nurse comes and says, "I'm sure you got the packet." "What packet?" "Never received the packet." "Well, we outlined to you what procedures you had to do before you came to the hospital. You brought the shampoo, didn't you?" "What shampoo?" "Special medicated shampoo that you need to wash your hair. If you don't have that shampoo, you're going to have to postpone the surgery for 24 hours until you can get that shampoo tomorrow. Is there any place I can get it?" "Go down to the pharmacy. Run down to the pharmacy." She runs down to the pharmacy, the stroke of 6, they're closed. She bangs on the shuttered gate, and the pharmacist, the manager, Tim, comes, "Can I help you?" "Sir, I need this shampoo." "I'm sorry, we're closed now." "Please, I'll give you the money. How much is it? I'll pay for it." "I'm sorry. All the systems are shut down, we can't help you." "How much is the shampoo?" $29.95 plus tax." He says, "Listen, my husband will be here at 9 o'clock in the morning when the pharmacy opens. Please, give me the shampoo." She says, "Lady, listen. Well, the husband's going to be here or not, I don't know. If he comes and pays, fine. If not, it'll come out of my paycheck, but take the shampoo." The next morning, her husband, a Talmud Chacham, dressed as a Ben Torah, beard, pays. He comes to the pharmacy at 9 o'clock, and he says, "Is this pharmacy connected to the other pharmacy, the other side of the hospital?" They said, "Yeah, we're one umbrella organization." "Well, yesterday, my wife got this shampoo from Tim. It's $29.95 plus tax. I need to know exactly what I have to pay. She said I'd be at 9. It's 9. I want to pay." The entire pharmacy goes silent. One fellow from the back pipes up and he says, "Fellas, we lost. See, they made a bet that this lady's husband would never show up to pay for the shampoo." 2 minutes later, another pharmacist comes out from the back, takes a look at Rabbi Ginsburg, the menahal of our day school, who writes in the Yatez, and he cries out, "It's not fair! We didn't know she was Jewish! Had we known they were Jewish, we never would have taken the bet!" You hear the Kiddush Hashem? The Kiddush Hashem? Didn't say Chassidish Yid, Flumah Yid, an Elach Yid, Orthodox Yid, a Bold Pais Yid. We didn't know he was Jewish. Jews keep their word. Jews pay their debts. A Jew's word is his bond. every pharmacist in Minneapolis, in that pharmacy, both of them in the hospital, Abbott Northwest, know that you don't get involved in a bet with a Jew because you're going to lose. Isn't that an incredible Kiddush Hashem for all of Klal Yisrael? Just want to conclude for Chaim Volozhin, because it's Nagei, you people are Bnei Torah. Some learn the entire day and some happen to be Bnei Torah, and the Shei Torah happen to work. But first and foremost, you're Bnei Torah. Affiliated with this Mokim Torah, America's a Torah in Manhattan, you're Bnei Torah. So you need to know this from Chaim Volozhin. Mishlokish gave a shir. Mishlokish was the greatest of the Bali Tshuva. He was the head of the Israeli Mafia. I mean, he was a cutthroat, he was a terrorist. And one fine day, he changes. And Mishlokish, and by the way, you know what changes? Kotzke once asked his Chassidim, what's the merachah, the distance between Mizrach and Ma'ariv, east and west? One person says a million kilometers. One person says infinite amounts. Kotzke says, ain claims I. One little turn. If you're facing westward and you look eastward, you've already changed from east to west. You travel that distance. And David Pavarsky, by the way, part of the Joshiva Zatzal asks the question, who's closer? If one fellow who just had an audience with the king, he's 5 minutes out and he's leaving. Another fellow is 1,000 miles away and is on his way. So if David, the one who's on his way, the other person turns his back. We, all of us, collectively, individual, are on the way. No matter how far the distance is, we're closer. So Rishlokish gives a shir. Rishlokish says, G'dol tshuva shma peches zedainais l'shkalis. Tshuva is great. He did it not very intentionally. He ate a BLT. They crossed it out and they said, you thought it was kosher style or whatever. Yes, the Talmidim, last year gave a greater shir. G'dol tshuva shma peches zedainais l'zachias. You ate a BLT and they crossed it out and they say he ate Korban Pesach. He spoke Lashon Hara, he learned Torah. Tan Tshuva Meyira, Tan Tshuva Me'av. The difference in Tshuva Meyira and Av. Doing Tshuva Meyira out of fear is pretty easy. You're scared, retribution, punishment for your life. But what's Tshuva Me'av? I love you, I love you, I love you. Says Rab Chaim Volozhin and Nefesh HaChaim Shar Dalet Oislam Dalet. Tshuva me'ava is only one way to effectively turn your averus into mitzvahs in one fell swoop. It's not deep thought, it's not philosophical, it's not idealistic, it's not changing matter. Eisek ha-Torah karoi. You immerse yourself in Torah and you turn averus into mitzvahs. Hashiveinu avinu l'tzarasecha v'kaveinu makinu v'tzarasecha v'achdireinu m'shem v'shem v'nechal. It starts with Torah, avoida, and then tshuva. That's the Gemara in Brachas, says Rav Mezeis, says I am an Aleph. The connection between the Cholim and the Yeholim, just as a tributary water purifies, so too Torah purifies. My Rebbe, a multiple gift of that song, said over an insight in the famous Gemara, the encounter between Pappas and Rebbe Kiva. Bar Plukta, his closest friend, Rebbe Kiva meets Pappas, and Pappas says it won't be long before they're going to kill you, put you to death. It'll be ma'asik makilis for Rabin for teaching Torah publicly. Now, Rebbe Kiva says a famous parable, the mashal, with the fox and the fish who's trying to evade the nets of the fishermen. And the fox says, come up on dry land, you'll be safe, it won't think of looking for your hair. You're the slyest, the wisest of creatures. Here I live, there I die. That's the Gemara. Kiva says, without Torah I die. Such a gift. That's the way to do anything. Now, the gift is this as follows. You take a bear, you deny him hydration and nutrition, he's going to die. Human being without oxygen, he'll die. A fish out of water is going to die. Of course he's going to die. What's the pshat? Oh, I forgot to ask that if you do have a cell phone, please program like a geschmack a nigga. You know what I mean? I guess something really good, like swing, something really geschmack. So what's fish out of water? Of course, fish out of water dies. I come from the land, the great state of Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. You ever gone fishing with Yankee Roberts, the aggressive of a chevra? So, you land the northern. a walleye, a 15-pound walleye. He's fighting for his life. You get him in the boat, he's soaring, he's looming larger than life. Knocking, clapping, banging, hollering. Larger than life. Says Rav Gifty, he's a geyser thing, he's dying. Those are the death throes of the fish. A fish survives when it swims. That's the life of a fish. The key to saying, you take a bentayga out of water, captain of industry, real estate mogul, builds bridges and tunnels, he's dying. Those are the death throes. You know how you live? You live with terror. Now, I can understand if I'm in Panavish or in B'nai Barak or I have face in the lake when I say over the shtickel terror, it makes a lot of sense. But let's face it, I know some of you, not all of you are sitting and learning 24 hours a day. So I don't have the audacity to tell Hashiva Balabatim that all the noise that's made and the cacophony of success in business is all the death throes. I'll tell you. I have a wonderful cousin who stayed with us this evening. His name is Ronnie Kagan, Reuven Binyamin Kagan. He lives in Flatbush on Avenue M. He's 16th and 17th. You'll want to know because of what I'm about to tell you. Ronnie Kagan has a magnificent fish tank. Saltwater fish. Beautiful colors, exotic, expensive. He has sunken treasures, moats, bridges, castles. All the fish in the fish store are dying to get into Kagan. When we were kids, covered after Flatbush, so we used to collect. I guess they knew one day we'd have a kilo and a kilo and have to continue collecting, so they trained us when we were young to collect. Tajbar, Chenechatzma, you named it, we collected. Stood. But Yossi Flores is now in St. Louis, the Choshiva Talmud Chacham, and we waylaid all the passengers coming off the F train at Peter McDonald Avenue, Torah Schools of Israel. We were nuts, quarters, dimes, pennies, dollars, whatever, just get us out of their face. So they used to give us all kinds of prizes for them, those wooden tops with the metal bottom that you spun and almost broke my Bubby and Zadie's brake front in Cincinnati. I didn't tell that to my mother either. My Zadie was very calm about it. And one year they decided to go El Cheapo. No more money for the Torah schools in Israel. So they got us these goldfish, they called them. They were like guppy, like feeder fish. Came in your own styrofoam cup. It's your own New York tap water. And then we got on the Ocean Parkway, the school bus all the way to Avenue P. And by the time we got there, remember, it was burial at sea. I mean, the fish was gone. So what kind of fish do you want to be? You want to be a little feeder fish, a guppy in a styrofoam tank, or you want to be in Ronnie's fish tank? You want to have a pool, an Olympic-sized pool. That's the tzoyis, that's in the sea, that's reshitim, that's chrin, that's chaburis, that's learning, that's afyami, that's what it is. Of course you're going out of the ivory tower, you have to take the workplace, but you take it with you. You take the Torah with you. That's the only way you effectively change. That's tshuva me'ava isa katera karoi. The Shem Yishmuel, the Helig HaSachach of it says, what's mikveh? How does mikveh purify a person? He says, Hashem created two kinds of creation. Land creatures and sea creatures. Sea creatures live in the sea, land creatures on land. Take a land creature, put him in sea, he dies. Sea on land, he dies. When a yid walks into the mikveh, and is completely immersed in the water, he's a land creature, he severed his life support system, he comes out, it's Tchias HaMeisim. At Kan Teichim Dvarim, that's the Shem Yishmol right. The new person. I thought to myself, that's Sukkah. It's Tzelev Emnutz, it's Tzelev Kutcher Bruch, you're completely enveloped by the Sukkah, you come out a different person. It's a Chag HaOsif, the ultimate oxymoron, the enigma. You just counted all your blessings and all your bounty and you leave it all, you go into the Sukkah and you come out of the Sukkah, you're a different person. According to Nefesh HaChaim, according to the Gemara in Brachas, comparing the Cholim to Ayalim, the Oil of Torah, of Yaakov, when you finish learning the Gemara, you have to be a different human being, a different husband, a different child, a different Jew, a different human being. And if not, you weren't Tevel in the Sugya. If not, Tevel b'sheretz b'yada, you kept the rat, the rodent in your hand, it doesn't work. That's what Torah is supposed to do, it's supposed to change us. And change doesn't have to be monumental, it's a little change. Suggestion is, tefillah is effective. Believe in it. Get connected, even before you get to the yontif. Realize that it can save the world and save yourself. realize that tefillah is complete dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol shonu sherosh b'srilotim es hasheres b'soifa. Any year that begins in poverty ends in wealth, the Gemara says. Says Rashi, she Yisrael, ois and atzim and rosh, and the Jews make themselves as if they're poor. But you have to relinquish ownership? No, just make believe. Because Mishlei says, tachanun emidav el rosh. Nobody supplicates God. Nobody, like an impoverished person. I have a great uncle, Isaac Kagan. He's 93 years old. He was in Bialystok at the age of 6 before he came to America. He told me countless times, he remembers going to a neighbor and knocking on the door. He was ravenously hungry. He was starving. So he begged the neighbor, a 6-year-old kid begged the neighbor for a little piece of bread. Nobody supplicates like a poor person, says Rashi. Doesn't mean we're actually poor. We sell our portfolios, we give up our homes, our cars. It means that we make believe we're poor. But doesn't that make it even more difficult? What do you mean you make believe you're poor? You're not poor. What do you mean you make believe you're poor? Just to be able to supplicate Hashem? Says the Granat with Matzoli Trump, that's all an amazing thing. Everybody thinks when you come to Hashem Yom Kippur, what I have is mine. Now I need more stuff. More car, bigger car, nicer car, an addition to my home, more vacation time, more money, more assets. Yisrael, Eitzen, Atzim, and Russian, we know everything's on the line. We have nothing. We start at ground level zero. There's nothing. Kol shana sherosha b'tchilasa, when you realize you have nothing and you are nothing and you're completely dependent on Hashem, it's Asheris B'Soyf, that ends up great wealth. Kodesh Baruch Hu should be made to that we should be zeichet to tshuva me'avu. Eitzek ha-teret teroi k'roi. We double our efforts to realize we are Torahim. We are Ne'ilah Jews. 6 months from now, that's the charade, that's the facade, this is what we are. We have to realize that we have a collective responsibility for each other. We're all viewed at with one glance. And if we feel others' pain, then the pain will be turned off. If we feel and commensurate with others' sorrows, the sorrows won't happen. And imagine the totality of Klal Yisrael offering up a perfect prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to utilize these pains properly. To create effective, everlasting change. To be zeichet, to gmach, to metoyva, and together with all of Klal Yisrael, the greatest simcha b'viyas ha'gel v'hem v'yameinu. Amen.